Welcome to the Lipstick League. I'm Natalie Eganoff.
And I'm Nicole Mahalik. And wow, I mean, look at us. Look at us recording again.
Recording again. Bear with me. I'm starting to feel slightly under the weather.
Well, and you've been all over the place.
I've been all over the
29.
Place.
Yeah. I love when your face pops up.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been having a blast on Fox 29 Philadelphia. So you could check me out if you're watching your local news. I've been on their fantastic sports show at night at 11:35, which has been so much fun. And then I've been popping on with Good Day Philadelphia, which is a blast, you know, and everybody at that station is so phenomenal. So it's been fun. And yeah, I've been on a lot. So if you watch news in Philadelphia, Fox 29 is your station.
So Natalie has been working on the news. I've been buried on TikTok talking about Taylor Travis.
So I saw you. What was your, you had another conspiracy the other day. We'll talk about it later in the episode, but you had another conspiracy the other day. And I just, you like, there should be like a celebrity, like FBI, like a, not like a celebrity FBI, but you know what I mean? Like people who like, a task force of people who like figure out things on the internet to make connections to people. And like, you should be like the chairman.
Thank you.
Or like the president, you. The president of the, like the Swifty Swelsey task force.
Yeah. I've actually been doing a couple TikToks about it, and they all have like 200, 300, like one of them is about to have 500,000 views on it.
And which one's that about? People cannot get enough.
They cannot get enough. So the first one that blew up was me talking about how she got, I think we talked about this, how like my theory was that, this is even before Travis, that she literally was hiding away in London with Joe Alwyn wearing slacks and a cardigan. And yeah, she woke up one day and was like, I'm motherfucking Taylor Swift. And even in her song Bejeweled, she says, I miss you, but I miss sparkling. That one blew up. Then the other ones that blew up were her connection with how I connected like Miles Teller and how Miles Teller and Kelly Teller kind of helped the Travis thing. And then it was Paul Rudd and Jason Sudeikis. But then my biggest one so far was the fact that it's very actually strange. Like they, both of their sets of parents are divorced, but yet their parents are always together at their events.
So they were both successfully co-parented, like in a loving way, which is, I think that's an interesting alignment for meeting somebody, because you know that stuff makes a difference, I think, in your interpersonal relationships. Like if you're raised in, like, clearly people know, like you're like, oh yeah, like my parents were divorced when I was 10, and like how that impacts you and like your relationships going forward, versus, oh yeah, my parents have been happily married and they're so in love still all these years later, right? Like how your parents' relationships are affect you in your relationships. And it is, I think it's interesting. I was thinking about that when I saw it. I'm like, that's a good parallel to pull, because it's like they both saw healthy ways of like co-parenting, even when their parents technically didn't get along. And I'm totally making this up. Like I'm totally.
No, well, I mean, to me too, but right? It's all speculation. But like, what are the odds though? Because it's not like, because in some, you know, there are some haters like, oh, parents are divorced. Wow, shocking. What a coincidence. And I go, it's not that their parents are divorced. It's that the parents divorced on the DL. Like it was very quiet. Like most people don't even realize that the Swifts are divorced. And remember, no one thought the Kelseys were divorced either until they like had to talk about it on the podcast. And it was, and they're like, yeah, so like you guys are divorced. Like they had to like make a statement, because it was very low key, but yet there's still, you know, even Taylor's, she had last week, she had the premiere of the Eras Tour, and like Andrea and Scott are both there. And so, and again, when the kids are little, yes, it makes sense. But like, these are adult kids. I mean, they're both 34 years old. So there's really no reason that the parents need to still constantly be together all the time. So I just thought it was a very interesting connection that like, they both got divorced when the kids were older, right? Like they were in their like late teens, early 20s. And then they still managed to like be around each other all the time. And I just thought that was kind of like an interesting dynamic. But yeah, since we're talking about Travis and Taylor, we'll just continue to talk about it really quick. But like, okay. I'm obsessed with it, like obsessed. But I think it's just because like I I'm a romantic. I love rom-coms. I, you know, it's like the whole thing.
This is like your World Series, you know?
Yes.
This is your Super Bowl. Like, this is the best of both worlds for you.
Yes, exactly. And the fact that, like, that's what I keep telling people. I'm like, I listened to New Heights podcast from day one, like the very first episode. Like, I already followed him. I followed his ex-girlfriend, Kayla Nicole, who I liked. Like, I was already in that world. And so then for the two worlds to combine, but my new obsession though is, obviously they did the pap walk is what they call it. Like, they knew, they made the conscious decision. It wasn't, I think it's important for people to realize that, like, it wasn't like the paparazzi caught them this weekend. Like, they made the conscious decision to be photographed together this weekend.
That's like, what's, and you know, I have mixed feelings about all of it. Not mixed. I'm worried about them not lasting. Right. And everybody,
right. Same.
I'll see this. And like, there's so much like pomp and circumstance around it and blah, 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 blah. I saw those photos and I was like, you know what? It's time. And I'm so focused on Taylor. Right. I'm like, I'm just so glad that she's having like that, like, powerful, like, I feel like she's taken her power back in a lot of situations. And like, whereas, like you said, she would used to hide. Now she's like, here's me and my man. And we're walking right in front of the cameras. Like, she's like stepping into her own and like owning, like her, like owning, I just think, who she is. And she's like, and this is my relationship. Like, it's very like glam. It's like very like Hollywood glam that she's like doing right now. Like in her like relationship with him. It reminds me, you know, of like, of course I'm watching Beckham on
Netflix, isn't it so good?
Which I adore, but like, they're, you know, those power couples like in Hollywood haven't existed. And I don't think that she's been a part of one that's been public. So I'm like, good for you, Taylor, for putting it all out there, you know?
Because people want to talk about her relationships. And it's like, first of all, when she, now listen, there's real Swifties that have all this information. And I want to thank the Swifties because I consume their information, then I regurgitate it. So they have all the details. But like, when you go back and you see her with like John Mayer and Joe Jonas and Jake Gyllenhaal, I mean, she was like 23, 24. It's like, and everybody wants to talk about her having boyfriends. It's like, what do people do when they're in their 20s? Like, they date, they hook up with people in college. Like, they have fun. It just so happened that she was a superstar. And then, you know, she dated Calvin Harris, was like her longest relationship before that, was a little over a year, but like, he wasn't as big as her. And then even remember, like, he made her change her name in the song because he wrote
didn't he not want her to have any of the credit on the song because he didn't want it to detract from his
correct. And then Joe Alwyn, you know, I think it worked out because like the media, the everybody kind of hated her, and so she went into hiding with Joe Alwyn. But like, if you watch any of her interviews, like, there was clips of her interview with Ellen where she talked about like that she like wants to take photos with the person she's dating. And you know what else I didn't realize until someone pointed out? She's never walked the red carpet with a significant other before.
That's what I was thinking too. Like, she's always, you know, for as long as her career, it's like, while everybody knows that her songs are about her relationships, like, we've never actually got to really see her in one.
Right.
Interact in one. So I feel like it's great to see her like step out, you know. And it's funny when you were like, when she's in her 20s, and I'll never forget this. Years ago when I was on the WIP morning show, one of the guys on the show brought up something like, and they asked Rhea, like, Rhea is a best, Rhea Hughes, who's on the WIP morning show, incredible woman. Something like, what's it like being like a woman in your 20s versus like a woman in your 30s? And she's like, your 30s are so much better. Now, I was in my 20s at the time.
Yeah.
Probably like 25 or 26. And she was just saying it. She's like, your 30s are so much better because like, you've had some experience and like, you become more confident in yourself.
It's so true. Yeah.
And like, secure with who you are, especially kind of in relationships, like, you learn what you will and won't tolerate.
Right.
And I just think it's cool now because Taylor's mid-30s. And again, her and I are like basically the same age. And I'm like, I'm just so glad that she's getting to have that moment. And like, she seems so secure in herself. And
yeah. but he's confident, insecure too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Because did you see, like, I know you don't necessarily follow country, but like, so Maren Morris and her husband Ryan Hur just announced they're getting divorced.
I did see that.
And everybody was shocked. And I'm like, here's the thing. It is so apparent when you look all through Hollywood, all through music, as soon as the woman becomes more famous than the man can't handle it. And so when you look through, it's like Kacey Musgraves and her husband divorced, Kelsea Ballerini, her husband divorced, Maren Morris, Ryan Hurd divorced, Carly Pearce divorced, Reese Witherspoon and Ryan Phillippe. As soon as Reese Witherspoon became A-list, Ryan Phillippe had a meltdown. Like it, Jennifer Aniston, Halle, like there's so many examples. And like this woman on Instagram, Matchmaker Maria, she talks about how, well, a lot of times you date within your circle and there's a lot of jealousy within your circle. And so her theory on Travis and Taylor is that they have completely different circles and like his success has nothing to do with hers. And he's also 34. So he's just like, you could just tell the way, and it's so crazy for me who consumes pop culture. Like I was saying this to my friends the other day, I was like, cause I obviously listen to New Heights and like, he just talks about her, like he talks about like and makes fun of himself. He doesn't talk about the relationship, but like he talked about them going to SNL and he like made fun of himself how there was all these pictures over the internet with him holding her hand. And it's like, it's so crazy that she's like never had that before.
It's nice to see. I'm happy for her,
and it's
like, really happy for her.
Both of them said like all of their like friend groups are shocked because they're the exact opposite than they've ever dated before. Like he's always dated like really powerful, hot black women. And she's always dated like scrawny, artsy guys from London. And so like, they're like the exact opposite of who they've ever dated. But like, you know, I don't think it's opposites attract. I think morally, or like, I think they have a lot of the same core values and that's why it works.
Yeah,
and they're just hot.
Yeah, they are beautiful. So I'm happy.
I agree. Them. I worry. Like I'm like, I hope it lasts. But he just bought a brand new house in Kansas City, a $6 million house, because his house was too exposed. So he had to buy a new house in a gate. He just closed on Tuesday. He bought a brand new house in a gated community so like he could have privacy.
See, there's the dichotomy. All as though like as well like the privacy and then versus like them being so public, like it's so fascinating to me.
They made when they were photographed, and that was my thing, like I want to know the conversation in the car, like when that car, they're sitting in the back of the car. Did you see how they all had the red lipstick all over their faces though?
No.
Oh my god, it's so good. Yeah, like I'll have to send it to you, but like her red lipstick and we've made out with boys with beards before, you get it. It's like beard burn. Like her lips, her like foundation is off her nose. She has like red lipstick. And then he is walking with his mouth closed because you can see her red lipstick in his beard. Yeah. It's so hot. But anyway, I want to know when they're sitting in the car, like she looks at him and was like, are you ready for like,
yeah,
that's what I feel like happened. I feel like she looked over at him. They pull up, they see the paparazzi. And I think she says to him, like, are you ready for this?
Like let's this just is... do it.
And he's like, let's go. And it was really fun. Like they do such a good job on the podcast. If you have a chance to watch some of the clips on YouTube, where like Jason like pokes the bear so much and it's hilarious. And because there was like the whole scene where Travis like kind of pushes the security guard out of the way so he could get the door for her. And Jason's like, Travis, did you push him out of the way? And he's like, I didn't push him. And Jason's like, it's on video, Trav. Like the whole world's seen it, you know? And then like, they have like their intern Brandon come on and he's like, he's like drinking out of the Ayers tour cup on the pot. It's so good. Like they do such a good job of subtly like poking him, which I think like she has to be part of the bit, because even like, did you watch SNL?
I saw clips of it. Yeah.
And so really quick, we'll wrap up Taylor and Travis, but like, I will say that like, and you read a lot of stuff about like relationships and therapy and self-help. And they talk about how it's important to find somebody who matches your energy. And like, that's like a new thing, is finding somebody who matches your energy. And the fact that like they showed up at SNL and they were like, oh, by the way, our very first skit is making fun of you too. Like, will you guys do cameos? And they were like, yeah, let's do it. That's hilarious.
I know. I think it's good. They have a good sense of humor about it. And I do like how I did appreciate the skit, because I'm going to be honest, Nicole, I don't need it in my football. Really? I don't like it. No.
Okay.
That's the only thing is like, I'm here for it and I'm fine if they show her. But like the first 2 weeks, like it was excessive and I can't pretend like I'm just like, I like football for football and like,
yeah,
I like
Taylor for Taylor. Yeah.
And Taylor was like, and Travis, like, I like that he made fun of it because they're like, oh, can we talk about football? And like, but that skit was exactly why I was annoyed. Like, because that's how I felt it was. Like, I was like now the NFL is getting in on it. And it's like, when it was like, here's the thing, here's my issue. When the NFL gets in on it and it's a clear marketing ploy that everybody sees through, like that's when it pisses me off. Like, it's not like
they admitted that they were, the NFL admitted they were maximizing exposure.
Yeah. So I'm glad, but I'm glad that they like reined it in is what I'm saying. Like, you know what I mean? Cause I'm like, all right, like we get it. They're dating. The NFL's excited that they have a new segue into like females, even though they historically have never cared about females. And I'm not gonna let that go either. But you know, I just feel like
they're like, you brought this up. We don't care about domestic abuse, but we care about Taylor Swift.
Yeah. And buy this from us. And now we're all female empowerment. It's like, you still have a lot of steps there. And like the Swifties might go in blind, but I won't forget. No. So that's the only thing. And I liked on the SNL how they were like, can we get back to Travis? Who wants to talk about football? And Travis was like, I do, you know, like I thought that was like tastefully done. And everybody's kind of like there's room for it in football, but I'm like, you watch something like I watch football for football and I'm like, this is fine that they're there, but like something about it was annoying me and I can't lie and say that it wasn't.
No, it's good. I thought that the NFL, Matt, I was annoyed because I thought that like, they're just, well, you saw Donna Kelsey even said that the NFL told her that the Kelsey family has given them more public or more positive, the NFL more positive press than if they paid a PR firm $1 million.
Yeah.
So it's like they just maximized off of what was given to them and they like couldn't get enough of it, you know? So, and I do agree that the overexposure makes people annoyed and that's right.
Well, I could talk for like 10 minutes straight about Will and Jada.
Oh my God. You and I are on the same page because you tweeted it like, please stop. I can't the same thing. And it's weird because like Will Smith is supposed to be like our pride and joy. And we're just like, go away.
Well,
I always thought he was creepy.
I don't even think he's creepy. I think I don't know why he feel the need, like Will and Jada feel the need to air out their like such intimate details of their relationship and like they just won't stop. And it's like, what? Like, was this ever even real? Do you two even actually care about each other? Like, there's a part of me that feels like Jada uses Will as like some sort of like crutch. She's like, oh yeah, we're this, we're that, we have this sex room. Like, shut the, like, nobody cares. You're both weird. Like, go back to movies. Like, nobody cares about your weird sex room, Will and Jada. Like, and then he's, I'm thinking when she comes out and she says, haven't been together since 2016. I'm like, so Will Smith was basically disbanded from the Academy, lost a ton of accolades, lost a ton of good press, like, because he went up and slapped Chris Rock saying, don't disrespect my wife. But here you are a year and a half later saying you haven't been together since 2016. Like, figure out your shit privately, keep it private, and like, just go away. Like, nobody cares, Jada. I'm really sorry. Like, nobody cares. And I don't even know what she's done to like warrant this kind of like, this is like her, like where she's getting all of her attention right now. And it's by exploiting her relationship with Will Smith, which I just find tasteless. And
yeah, but I think, bizarre. See, I think he's at fault too, though, because he knew they weren't together. And like, he still did the whole slap thing. And
that's the thing. That's what I tweeted out. Does Will know that they weren't married? Because the way that he acts, he's crying on interviews and like all this shit. Like, and then here's what I would say to Will. Like, I'd be like, A, it's done. Like, you can find, hopefully maybe you'll last through this, but like, don't you want to find somebody better who's not going to like drag you publicly and talk about the most intimate details of your lives, like on the Today Show?
Well, there was all these rumors that they had an open relationship. So now that makes more sense. Like they both probably have had other partners throughout their life.
Oh, I'm sure of it. But
that is, but it just does go to show like how much is hidden from the public. You know what I mean? And the fact that they like wanted to hide it, which is like creepy. And like, they weren't together, but they still showed up for stuff. Like, it's just very, like, if you watch the Netflix special Hollywood, where you read The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, it's very much like that, where like, there's so much just like underground hidden shit. And you're like, ugh.
I guess my question is for people like that who do that, like what is the point then to save face publicly if your relationship isn't real in reality? Like, what is the point of you being together then? They have grown children, they've done their whole thing. Like, I get that they care about each other and probably have like a deep love for each other because they've been together for so long, but what's the point now? Like, it's just, it seems like, I don't know. I just hope that she shuts up because.
Well, and then she did a book tour. So she went back to her hometown in Baltimore and he came and showed up with her.
That's what I mean. Like, there's just stop talking about it then.
But like, I think it must be one of those things where, you know, it's like they want to stay in the public eye. They want, I mean, really quick, we should touch on the Britney Spears book.
Well, I saw something last night. Now this is, I'll probably dig into this. Like, I'll dig into Britney Spears because I'm like a stan.
Because you obviously saw the abortion part, right?
That's what I was going to bring up. Yeah. And a meme last night that, they're looking back at the Every Time video and it's like, I guess I need you, baby. And it's her in the hospital. The video had her in the hospital with the baby. And it's so sad. Brittany.
It's so sad. And then it came out that, well, it had come out a couple weeks ago that Justin Timberlake was very, very, very worried about this book. And I guess it's,
oh no, they're going to ruin his squeaky clean image of him probably being a douchebag in real life.
Exactly. And I guess like there's literary like respect where when you're writing a book, you're supposed to like give somebody a heads up. So I guess that like she did, but like they can't stop her because it's her story, right? Like it's what happened.
He would be if Justin Timberlake like took legal action to stop her from writing that memoir. He would be trying to control her the same exact way that her father did. And I'm sure that he's done that. He's been able to do that low key against Britney for years.
100%.
Because she's the one who's publicly excoriated, called crazy, pumped up with all these pharmaceutical drugs, was under the care of her father. And like, you can go back and watch videos when she was doing, what was it? America's Got Talent. She was still with it. And when she refused to, like, you know, she refused to or wanted to get paid and do things on her own, then they drugged her and put her up in the friggin', then she lost her mind. But like,
here's my theory. I actually think
nobody's given Britney the room to like be Britney or grieve or be or like live the way she wants to live. And I'm not surprised that Justin would be a part of that and try and control it too.
But I really think that what happened was I think she obviously has mental illness, right? And what was happening to her when at the height of her fame in the late 90s, early 2000s, and no one was really talking about mental health then, right? And I think she was like an average 19, 20 year old, like going, it just so happened she was like the biggest person on the planet. And I don't think her family really knew how to support her in the best way. And so she didn't get the proper care from the beginning. And then, because like, if you go back and watch that Diane Sawyer interview, where, oh my God, I can't believe Diane Sawyer sleeps at night, when you see how they treated all these young stars in like the 90s and 2000s, it literally makes me want to throw up. It's so horrific. And like, we were affected by it because we saw it happening and we thought that that's how women are supposed to be treated. Yep. Slut shamed and like purity. It's so fucked up. Right. But, and then I think what happened was, is that she never really got properly treated. And then she got pregnant and then had very severe postpartum. And then I think that her family didn't know what to do on the, and also knew that she was their meal ticket. So like, I do really though believe that if she was not in a conservatorship, she would have been dead. I really believe that. Like, yeah. I do believe that they had the conservatorship because it's like Amy Winehouse, right? Like, I do believe if they just let her go, she probably wouldn't still be here. But obviously, like, the care she got and how they went about it wasn't good. I think two things could be true.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you there. And it's like, I don't think that they, like, this is, I guess what I mean is mentally the way that she's been treated. Like, when it comes to her, like, nothing in her life, I don't think has been able to be, like, on her own behest, like, for her own well-being, like, for her own personal healing.
Yes,
and growth.
Yes.
And because everybody around her has controlled the narrative about her to the public. So she's had absolutely no voice and no say when it comes to like sharing her pain or sharing her trauma. And it's a shame, you're right, because back then, like, there was no talk about mental health and it like had to come this far. But what's crazy is I even wonder if the way that she was handled, right, by her people, by her family and her community of people, if she tried to do this years ago, she wouldn't have been able to. Mm-hmm. She still would have been oppressed and her voice still would have been stifled. And like, how are you supposed to heal from shit in life? Like, if you don't get a chance to talk about it and you don't
need the space. Yeah.
You don't have anybody to talk about it with. And then the person that you are that was probably hired to talk to you about your trauma in your life is on your dad's payroll and getting kickbacks from the medicine that he's prescribing you, like, beyond. So, I mean, I'm glad that she's finally getting her shit out there. I'm going to read it.
And I agree.
I'm not going
to Justin Timberlake too. I think that he got away with being a dick. I mean, what happened with Janet Jackson? Like, he came, and that's why, like, there's all these rumors about the NSYNC reunion, but then people said no, it was Justin Timberlake wanted to put out a tour. And it's like, no, well, after this book, like, he needs to do the NSYNC reunion because everybody's pissed. Everybody's gonna be like, Justin, no one's coming to see you.
He's like, Justin and what was the statement? Justin and Jessica would just like for everybody to move on with their lives. Okay, well, here's the thing, Justin and Jessica, you both like live in your like beautiful little ivory towers and are able to like turn on blinders to this shit. Meanwhile, this woman who was in a very public relationship with Justin Timberlake for years, it's like kind of like marred her life. Like, she's always going to be connected to him. Sorry if he doesn't like it now. I'm sorry if he doesn't like that. Like, the like, and it's, I feel like it's not even like she said anything bad. She said he wasn't ready for a child.
And if to be honest, he probably did make the right decision. They both made the right decision, you know?
Yeah.
But still, it still doesn't affect the fact that she never really recovered from that. And I think we talked about this before in one of the podcasts, but, a girl that was really good friends with my brother in high school is a therapist, and she was talking about how there is a real condition where you could have a bit of a psychotic break and stay at that age. And I do think that that's what happened to Britney Spears. Like, she still thinks she's 24.
I think that's true too. They kind of say that, I think, with addicts as well. Like, if you get heavily into drug use, like, at a certain age, and it all kind of ties together, because what did they put her on? She was on lithium and all those strong ass pharmaceutical drugs that, like, so I don't know, but I'm ready for Britney's memoir. I'm ready. And
me too.
The thing is, I like talk shit on Justin, but like, I love Justin Timberlake. I'm an NSYNC-er. You know what I mean? I just wish maybe he would step into it and own his shit instead of like,
just own it. Yeah.
He's constant. That's the thing about him, especially when it comes to Britney, is I feel like he's been supportive, but like, now's the time to be like, we were young and decisions were made, and all I want is for her to be able to heal. Like, that's what I want to hear from him. Like,
that's perfect. You need to tweet him that. Hey, Justin, here's a statement.
Yeah. As somebody who like loved and cared for her at a certain point in my life, because here's the thing, my boyfriends from when I was like 18, 19, God knows where they are in life now. I really don't know, but I would never wish harm on them. And like, I don't, but people who are selfish and throw people under the bus for their own sake, you know, he might be one of those. I don't know. I'm ranting now because I have so many feelings about
it. All right. So on to sports. So let's talk about the NFL really quick, because obviously this is like a massive, massive, massive week. But there's five teams that are currently 5-1 in the NFL after last week, which was the craziest week, where the damn Eagles lost. And San Francisco lost, and it's like, is it in the NFL script? I don't know. You were at the game though, right?
On Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah. So game. I'm feeling a little under the weather, and I think that might have to be one of the reasons why, because it was cold.
Yeah, the craziest thing though is that I don't know if people realize that it's like Kansas City, great, 5-1, San Francisco, okay, 5-1, Miami, 5-1, okay, Philly, 5-1. Do you know who the other team is that's 5-1?
The Niners, right?
Yeah, I already said them.
Oh,
Kansas City, San Francisco, Miami, Philly, and
who is
the
it?
Detroit Lions?
Oh, the Lions.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Yeah. So yeah, obviously
the game was terrible. The game was terrible and I was cold. So it made it even more terrible, but there was nothing redeeming about that game at all.
And it was, and I was like in the, it, for the first, honestly, even up until like the last couple minutes, I was like, they're going to win this game. And then when I realized they're not going to win it, I was like, are they really not going to win this game? So this guy, Steve, shout out to Steve that works in my, I have a lot of guys that work in my building. And so we're always like chit-chat about sports. And it's funny because one of the guys is a massive San Francisco fan. Another guy is a massive Dallas fan. So we're always like chirping in the lobby. But anyway, Steve's theory was that they, because here's my thing. I don't know how these NFL teams, especially a team like the Philadelphia Eagles, how they don't have two people who sit in a back room and their job is to find special plays that they could put in the back of the binder to call for situations when they need it. I'm like, you mean to tell me that you can't find tapes from like the 70s that have fun trick plays and that you keep them in the binder on the Google Doc? Like, I, because I obviously have never coached a game of football in my life, but they call these plays and I'm like, I know this is terrible. If I know it's terrible, what are you doing?
I feel like it's sometimes it's one of those things where it's such a mess that they're grasping for straws and like, I think doing too much, you know, like they're just like not, it's not a practical application because they're not used to being in that situation. Like nobody thought, sorry, I'm struggling. No, nobody thought that the Eagles would come out and really face like the Jets like that. I mean, yeah, we have a lot of injuries and stuff. However,
So we're really quick before you finish. So Steve's theory really quick was that they put together a very basic game plan.
Yeah.
That they basically were like, if we lose, oh well, because the schedule coming up is so insane. There's so many injuries. They're playing on turf at the Meadowlands. We're just going to try to skirt by this game. And if we win, great. But if we don't, oh well. And I thought that actually made sense.
So I agree with Steve in the building because it was such a goose egg. And my score prediction, I did make one. I said 30-21 Eagles. And people were like, 30, like 21, the Jets aren't. I said, the Jets always play us tough. Like they always play us tough. Breece Hall, their running back, he was pretty decent. You know, we had some injuries. Slay was out, all that other good stuff. So I had a feeling that it was going to be close. I didn't expect that big of a goose egg, but I'm like, it's the perfect time for them to have that type of loss, especially against the New York Jets, because the Phillies are like taking over any sort of momentum that loss would have like gained. So I'm not worried about the Eagles like from that game. And I agree with Steve. I do think it was, that was the goose egg game. And they're like, we'll just get this out of the way.
But it's crazy though, because when you think of their schedule, like obviously the Dolphins are coming up, Sunday Night Football, Kelly Green, which is nuts. Then they play the Commanders, then the Cowboys, then the Chiefs, then the Bills, then the 49ers. Like it's nuts. Their schedule is nuts.
Getting real. It's getting real, real.
And so I don't know. I don't feel like, and maybe it's because of the Phillies, but like, I don't know. Last year when we watched the Eagles, they just had this like, do you know what the kids say now? It's called the Riz. Do you know what that is?
They had the Riz. Yeah.
They had the Riz last year, right? Jalen had the Riz. They had the Riz. And I feel like they're missing. The Phillies have the Riz. The Phillies absolutely have the Riz. The Eagles don't have the Riz. And I don't know if they can get the Riz back or what, but when I just feel different when I watch them, you know?
Yeah, so, I think it hasn't been pretty football. It hasn't been like, it's been, I think it's just been like very like gritty, grindy, old fashioned, like we're gonna bounce no, ball like, down the field.
There's no flow, and it could be the fact that it is this new offensive coordinator. There's just no flow. Like, normally they would, like, boom, boom, go down the field, run, pass, pass, run.
Yeah, it's
close. Run, pass, pass. There's just, it's all, it's like, it feels like they.
Well, so, and the Eagles picked up Julio Jones, which I loved him, you know, as a player for years. So, he's in the twilight of his career, I guess you could say. They did pick up.
That's a beautiful way to say it. The twilight of his career. That's nice. The
twilight of his career.
Yeah.
Did we need another wide receiver? I don't know, because I still always, and I will never not have concerns about Jalen Hurts, like being able to, he can pass the ball, but I feel like these defenses just have his number this year. They're rushing him so hard that, like, I feel like he doesn't have enough time to get the ball out. The receivers necessarily haven't been in their routes. That's why we've been running the ball so much. So we'll see if he makes a difference and maybe add some flow to the field, I guess.
You know, like, what I said? I mean, I stand by it that I think Jalen Hurts takes himself too seriously and he needs to loosen up.
Yeah.
He needs to loosen up and just go and like have fun and like play. Like, Jalen Hurts has the riz. Like, his whole demeanor is that. But when he's so uptight, where like you watch the Phillies and they're just like chill. They're just like, we're having fun. Who knows what's gonna happen? You feel the feel now, like, let's go. You know what I mean? And I want to believe that. And so actually this is perfect because it leads into the fact that the Philadelphia Inquirer wrote a story yesterday about how after Trey Turner got the standing ovation, that it not only turned Trey Turner's season around, it changed the whole trajectory of the Philadelphia Phillies team. And multiple players have went on record to say that it completely changed. And I got pissed. I'm happy that it worked, but I texted you right away. And it's literally, it was a scientific experiment that happened in the 70s, how positive reinforcement works. And I'm like, Natalie and I have been preaching this. People literally would annihilate us on the socials when I would go on and I would say on Twitter, and I would say, people don't want to come here because we're too mean. And people would think, you're an asshole, you're fat, you're ugly, you're a cunt. And I'm like, I was fucking right. All of a sudden, we're Philadelphia positivity town, USA. And now all of a sudden it's working and people are like, yay, we love our team. I'm like, you asshole. Now I'm pissed. Now I'm being negative. Cause I'm like, we told you for 3 years.
3 years. We did say it a long, long, long time ago. And look, sometimes like what you
speak, I'm going to pull up the receipts.
You should pull up the receipts. What do you speak into existence sometimes takes a minute to come to fruition, but I do feel like we ushered in this era of positivity, if you will.
I believe it. I've said this forever that like, these are professional athletes. They do not want to suck. Do you really think back in 2017 that Nelson Aguilar or 2018 Nelson Aguilar wanted to suck? No, we were so mean to him. Like, even with Devontae Smith, when he dropped the ball and he goes like, I fucking dropped the ball. Like, he doesn't want, do you think Devontae Smith wants to drop the ball?
No.
Like, he doesn't want to drop the ball. So us being mean to him isn't gonna help. It's basically like, okay, you know, whatever reason you drop the ball, we get it. Like, but we still know that like you want to win, you know?
It's like,
so
it's like you can't, just as in life, as in sports, like maybe it's not the best to kick somebody while they're down.
Yeah. And I've always believed that, but like Philly was known. And again, like you and I talked about, I kept saying, we have to change the narrative of the town. We can't keep saying that we're underdogs and that we're mean to the players. And it's never going to give us what we want. We have to change the dynamic that we're a city of champions, that we're the city with the riz.
That we are the city with the riz. We are the riz. The Phillies, man.
And you went to how many games did you go to last week? Two? Did you go to, or just one?
No, I was only at the one last week.
Okay.
And the energy is absolutely out of this world. Like, and what did that lady say that I have? Claire something. I went to see that medium. She told me I'm Claire. Claire sentient, I think, where I pick up on energy.
Yeah. Okay. That makes total sense.
I can pick up because I'm very empathetic. Like yeah. sometimes, and she told me that I am gifted, but I'm like clairsentient, which
not
means like
clairvoyant,
but not clairvoyant.
Okay,
not clairvoyant. I might have a touch of that, but
yeah.
Definitely clairsentient. She's like, you're very sensitive to other people's energies, which is so true because
yeah.
not only do I absorb them, they take mine. People take my energy.
Right. They almost like zap your energy.
I have to be very protective of who I share my energy with, because if you're an emotional vampire, like it'll come right out of me.
Yeah.
But now that I'm learning about it, but I'm telling you, Nicole, I can feel it. I can feel it in my entire body when I walk into that place. Like sometimes it feels like you're floating because the vibes are so high and the energy is so good. Like after they won last week, me and my brother got to see the win when they closed out the series against
the Braves.
The Braves, yeah. God, I went to see the Marlins. That was 2 weeks ago now. Yeah. Wow. When they closed out the series against the Braves. And then everybody just is so joyful and standing there and singing like Callum Scott's Dancing on My Own, arm in arm. Like it, I'm telling you, my body, I was like this far off of the ground. Feel it. Like I was shaking. Like you could feel the good vibrations. You could feel the energy. Like you could feel the people. Like there's so much joy. It's so much joy and happiness in Philadelphia. And I'm so glad, because like Astros, they've won the World Series. You know what I mean? They're a good team, but nobody has fun like we do.
100%. Yeah.
It's a giant dance party. Like all Philadelphians, like we love the positivity when we're winning, because all we want to do is just enjoy it. And that's what it's been about. And I'm so glad for the city, because it's still tough here. Like we still have a lot of shit going on here in Philly. Like
100%. Yeah.
A lot of crime, a lot of murder, like not to bring it down, but
it's true. Yeah.
It's nice that like there's good energy literally radiating from South Philadelphia. I'm sure if there was like a heat map of like energy fields.
Can you tweet that today to find somebody to, well, hopefully we don't have to come back here. Hopefully we sweep them.
Yeah, hopefully we sweep
them. The World Series games. You need to tweet that there has to be some scientist that could figure, like could work, or maybe like a meteorologist or something that could figure out like the heat map of Citizens Bank Park in South Philly.
Yeah.
So, two things really quick was that obviously Travis Kelce came down, and like, he's just like, again, like Taylor Swift leaves on her jet to LA and he like jumps in a car and like comes to the Phillies game. And I really thought they were going to record New Heights together, but he obviously like hopped on another private jet and went back to Kansas City. But they talked about meeting Tim McGraw. And then I thought it was so funny. Like, did he like start singing Tim McGraw to Tim McGraw? You know, just be like, oh, you know, Taylor wrote the song. Anyway.
Tim McGraw.
If you think my favorite song. Travis was like, I can't explain that energy at Citizens Bank Park. He was like, I just love the vibes. And he's like, there's nothing. He's like, I like to just walk through the stadium and scan my ticket and walk through with the fans. He was like, I want to sit in the seats. He's like, that's why he talked about, because he obviously went to the Jets game, and he was like, and if you remember, like he just got so big now, but like when he came to two, it was really funny. He's like, Jason keeps saying he's retiring in the last 6 years, so I try to come to as many of his games as I can. But like, I want to know that conversation too, where he's like, hey, Tay, like, gotta go, you know, I mean, gotta go. Like, how cute was that? That like he came anyway, but he was talking about just being at the Phillies game and the vibes and how it was just so insane and people. And then there was like the really cute video of DeAndre Swift and Terrell Edmonds where they're sitting behind home plate.
I was dying.
Oh my God.
Funny. And Terrell Edmonds called it. What did he say? He's like, he's going to get it right here. And then Trevor like cracks it off the bat. And then he's like, oh, is that same guy as last time?
And he's like, they're like, when they were doing the runs, they're like, come on, hurry.
Yeah.
Like, come on, ref. I mean, umpire. It's an umpire, right? Oh my God. It was so cute. And then they were like, oh, I'm going to have this song stuck in my head. Ayo. And then like fast forward, ayo, ayo, okay. And I was like, this is so cute.
This team is, I said this on Good Day Philadelphia. They're so good and they're so lovable. And like, I think it's adorable, right? Like, you know me, and I have this weird thing in my brain where like, I don't, I think athletes are hot. Like, I look at athletes and I'm like, that's a beautiful man. But like, I have something that I cut off in my brain a long time ago. When I look at athletes, I see, I don't see, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just love how like this team is like, they're like all hot, right? Like all the female fans like are swooning over the entire team.
Yeah.
And it's like, when was the last time that the Phillies had a team, or Philly has had a team where like, I mean, the Eagles are good looking too, but like, you know what I mean? We're like,
yeah,
they've been, not only have they been excellent players, excellent role models, incredible fathers, like family men. And then they're all also good looking, that like all the women of the female, like,
well,
the Delaware Valley are swooning.
I did put a list together of the nine hot shirtless picks.
Yes. Yes. And that's why I'm just dying over it. It's like so funny. It's been so long. I feel like 2008, like everybody had their player, but like this team, they're like heartthrobs too. On top of everything else, they're pure heartthrobs.
I know. I wish I didn't know who they followed on Instagram. That's hard for me.
Oh, so see, I don't even look at.
Don't break your heart. Don't do it.
I don't. Like, that's what you follow, like all that other stuff. Like, I get most of my information from you when it comes to like their personal lives and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, good. Don't, because it's hard. Even though our friend Tyrone's like, you got to separate the art from the artist. I was like, okay, but when Bryce Harper's wife follows Candace Owens and Tommy Lahren, it's so hard to look past. But it's, you know, I didn't realize Bryce took himself off social media.
Oh, he did? I did not realize. See, I should know that.
Yeah, I can't bring myself to follow Kay Harper because I can't. She follows all the Trumps. She follows Candace. I just can't. So I have to try to separate that. I have to try to forget that JT is an anti-vaxxer. I have to try to separate it. It's hard for me, though.
It is hard. I mean,
I definitely vibe more with the NBA and the NFL in that sense, right? Yeah. Like, I don't know why. I don't know if it's because they're all like, all the baseball players are just like white from the Midwest. I don't know that this is like, so it's hard. I have to just like separate it because I'm obviously like, I love it and it's so exciting, but then it's like, I like to know about them, but I have intel. And the intel that I do have said that the two people that I would like absolutely adore is Rhys Hoskins and Kyle Schwarber. Cause I talked about it on Instagram where I was like, I want to like, are you for equality? Like, are you fighting for social justice? Like,
yeah.
And so I did get confirmation that those two in particular, and if you even saw Jamie Hoskins, Rhys's wife, she did tweet when the Phillies fans were doing like the Braves chop, and she's like, stop, like, we're better than this, like, don't do that. And I was like, yeah, like, she's okay, she's what's up. So yeah.
I mean, I think it's tough, right? I mean, I don't know, I've had to disconnect, I feel like, that since like 2021.
Oh yeah, but like, you know, it's hard. Like, I mean, JTO Realmuto is so hot, so I just have to forget the fact that, like, you know, he probably has Trump shirts in his basement.
You know what it is for me, Nicole? I think like at this point in sports and the state of the world, like,
we need joy. I get it.
Well, not only that, but there's also so many fucking like so many issues. Like everything has so many problems underneath it. Like nothing can just be anymore. And I feel like I've now gone to this place mentally where I'm just accepting things for how they are and then like navigating them as they come. You know what I mean? I'm like, because it's hard. Like there's a lot of shit going on in the Middle East right now. You know what I mean? Like, I almost feel guilty for like celebrating some things that we have like going on in life, you know? Things are just so complicated. So I think that's where I'm at. I'm just like, I'm just trying to find the joy in these things. Cause honestly, whether or not like Kay Harper is like a Trump supporter, like she's not like, is she ever going to impact my life? Like, I don't know, because like, I'm going to make my own decisions. Do you know what I mean? I feel like I've developed this like weird, not like blinders, but I also just don't really, I'm like, good for her. Like, she's going to be that's her and her part of history, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think I'm working toward it. I know.
It's hard. It's hard. But yeah, they're all heartthrobs, and I think.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Castellanos with the open shirt and the gold medallion. I mean, like, it's just perfect. It's literally perfect.
It is perfect. I know. And his son is so sweet, Liam.
Oh my God, it's so cute. Yeah. And I love the fact, like, I do love that his wife, Jess, like, she tweets what's going on. So she's like, guys, just so you know, Liam is already homeschooled by his Nana. Like, he's yeah. all the games. Cause she's like, I appreciate everybody offering to tutor him to do his homework for him. And I was like, that's so cute.
But that's what I mean. Like, it's like, there's so many different positive, fun storylines yeah. around this.
You're right. That's what I have to focus on.
It's been, and like,
I can't focus on the fact that she's friends with Candace Owens.
I think it's no. And they might not even be friends. You never know. But I just feel like there's so much positivity, and like, they seem like such good family men too, which is what I like.
Yeah.
I think
we hope we don't look, we thought Will and Jada were the golden Hollywood couple. So who, I like to sometimes keep it real. So who knows what happens on the road late nights in Milwaukee.
My God.
I know. I'm sorry. We're going back. It's the Riz. It's the, like, we just have to like think about it's the positivity. You're right. Separating the art from the artist, positivity. We're feeling the vibes, dancing. Oh. Okay. All right. I got to go.
Okay. Well,
all right. Thanks, everybody. You're the best.
We'll talk to you soon. Mwah. I know.